Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for, what is it, already July the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2021? This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances are the key to the exercise. We can restore the republic one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. It all starts in your heart. It all starts in your family. After all, family is the fundamental unit of society, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Well, Friday and Saturday, I had a couple of days off. I went and helped my wife and others. We had a corporate event. It was a huge camping trip, not good enough connectivity for the show. So we played a couple of incredible repeat broadcasts from quite a while ago. So they're fresh content. It's amazing how I listen to the show back when I get a minute from time to time just to kind of see what I'm talking about long time ago. And it's amazing how relevant the broadcasts are. You know, you play a broadcast from a year ago, 6 months ago, similar topics, different details, relevant as could be. Just amazing stuff when you stand for the Republic and educate to the traditions of our founding fathers. Anyway, with that, just look at Thursday's broadcast. We were live. And here's the notes, the recap from that is relevant, what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days later. Let's see how relevant these topics are. You ready? We had our guest on, Brian Russ, talking about honest money, constitutional currency, gold and silver, the honest money update. That's as relevant as it gets, right? We also talked about pain at the pump. Gasoline rises to seven-year high, up 40% since January under Biden. Relevant as all get out. If you go fill up at the pump, you'll see what I mean. Right? Get ready for higher grocery bills for the rest of the year, relevant as all could be, right? Fake news, they say. Food prices will continue to rise in 2021. That's not fake news. That's reality. But the fake news part from Bloomberg says, here's why. They say it's climate change and COVID-19 causing it, and I say that it's government causing it. How relevant is that reality, huh? That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, Trump, quote, I'm suing Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Trump files class action lawsuit. He says if they can do it to me, they can do it to anyone. He's right about that. Donald Trump drops glorious legal bombshell on Facebook, Google, and Twitter. Punitive damages. Trump goes to war with big tech. Leads class action lawsuit on being banned. The case is being handled by the America First Policy Institute. And you say, well, I've heard all that, Sam. That's not too relevant. I know the case seeks an end to shadow banning and blacklisting. But I'm telling you right now, why is this relevant? Because I am trying to get a hold of Donald Trump. And there's other people that are suing as well. Yeah, Dennis Prager has been working on suing for a long time. Donald Trump now. Couple of other high profile attorneys that I highlighted. All right. Dylan O'Hanley. I guess it's Dylan and O'Hanley, two different attorneys filing lawsuit against Twitter. Yeah. And Senator Padilla and others. Anyway, they're doing a great job, but I'm trying to get a hold of these people because I believe I should be part of their class action lawsuit. But here's the problem. No matter how hard I try to get a hold of these people, I just can't seem to get it done. You know, you call and their offices just have a voicemail and you leave a message and nobody calls you back. And, you know, you email them and you don't hear back. How do you get a hold of these people? I mean, for class action lawsuit people, you would think there'd be an easy way to contact them, right? Well, I'm not doubting these people. I'm just expressing on the air what a tough time I'm having. I mean, my case is as relevant as it gets. I'm a 25-year plus nationally syndicated talk show host. Fairly well known. Twitter shut me down. Why? Because I decided to carry a story from Israel News and a story from Life Site News that they thought was fake news, so they flat out shut me down. And the only way they'll put me back up is if I go ahead and recant or take that story down. Why won't I do it? Because then the next story, they'll take me down, and they'll have just complete control of my content. I'm not willing to do that. I didn't make up the fake news. I merely reported on news that's out there by credible news sources. Am I allowed to do that around the world or not? See, so I don't know how my case may not be more poignant than any others, or more valuable, or more egregious than any others. I get it. I'm just one of the many, but I'm a legitimate one. I would be a very good advocate in court to explain my situation. I'd be a very good guy to put on the stand and talk through it and say, hey, who are you and what do you do? I'm certainly relevant in the news. I owned a radio station for 10 years and then went nationally syndicated. Well, I was nationally syndicated while I owned the station too, I guess. But I'm just saying, the show has done nothing but grown. I've been credible. I've been at some of the most important events in America, broadcasting live when others couldn't get in. I had legitimate media credentials, right? I mean, I don't know, but I think that if you want a valuable case, mine should be one of them. It shouldn't be maybe the premier one, but it should certainly be a solid support in the class action. But I can't even get a hold of the people that are supposedly filing them. What does that say, ladies and gentlemen, to America? In my mind, it says there's two classes of people. There's me and there's thee. Me meaning you and I and the rest of us, and thee meaning they. How do I get a hold of these people? If somebody could tell me how to get a hold of Donald Trump or anybody on his team to be part of that class action lawsuit, I'd love to do it. If anybody can help me get a hold of Dylan and these other people, I'd love to do it. Meanwhile, Google, Tesla, Apple, Facebook rake in massive subsidies. MercuryNews.com, incredible article. Report Silicon Valley giants enjoy billions in government subsidies. Breitbart. Facebook now defines extremism, manipulates users. Are you concerned that someone is becoming an extremist? They will help you by training you out of the, quote, what cult? Others in your situation have received help. So they want to then, with this ad, if you will, on Facebook now, help document you out of extremism. Wow. Tucker Carlson claimed on Wednesday that the NSA leaked the contents of his emails to journalists as an effort to target his show and take him off the air. See, Tucker ought to be part of the class action lawsuit too, right? Anyway, I don't mean to down any of these people filing these lawsuits, Trump and others. I support their efforts. But how do I get a hold of them? Let's talk to Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam. It's good to be with you.
So I was explaining that I got shut down by Twitter because I carried a story from Israeli news sources as well as LifeSite News. And I mentioned that in their articles, they're claiming that more people, more elderly people are dying from vaccines than they are from the COVID. And I reported that on the news and highlighted it in Twitter. And Twitter shut me down over it. And they say they'll put me back up if I recant or take out the story. I won't do it because what's next? Can't I report on global news? Legitimate news sources like LifeSite News is legitimate and others. Can I even parrot what they say and say, hey, here's what's in the news and tell the other side of the story or no? So I got shut down by Twitter. Well, the point is there's many attorneys now, including Donald Trump, filing lawsuits against these guys, Twitter, Facebook, Google, etc. You know, they're not private entities. They've been taking money from the government and from the taxpayers for years. But anyways, they claim they're filing class action lawsuits, which I commend them. Lol, don't get me wrong. However, for the life of me, I can't get a hold of any of these people to be part of their class action lawsuits. What the heck's wrong, and how do I get a hold of people? Any idea?
No idea, Sam. That's crazy. I mean, you're normally in a class action lawsuit, right? They send out a postcard to everybody in the world and invite them to join the class action lawsuit because they, you know, they believe the more the merrier. You know, the better. Stronger their suit is, the more people they get. So I don't understand why they wouldn't do the same thing here.
Well, and I get that they're saying, hey, we can't send a card to everybody because everybody's not affected by this, only people that are in the media. But certainly there ought to be a way for me to clearly, easily get a hold of them, right?
You would think that they would broadcast on media the fact that they're doing a class action lawsuit. I mean, obviously, you and I both know that's what they're doing. And yet, you know, I mean, how do they get the word out? I mean, it's kind of an interesting problem, but you expect them to get the word out somehow.
And I'm expecting that someone like me, I'm expecting that someone like me would be able to find a way to get a hold of them easily and become part of that class action lawsuit. So to me, you know, I covered this story last Thursday, and everybody's like, you know what, for the last week, we've already known Donald Trump's filing a lawsuit and everything else. That's great. But the new news in my mind is, how does someone like me get a hold of them? I mean, I'm not saying my case is more important than any other case, but my case comes from a solid media source that's been around for a long time. I'm not like a teeny bopper that's never been around, or all I'm telling you is my case is as solid as anybody's, right?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I don't know why they wouldn't, getting a hold of them somehow, that's the problem, and I don't know how to do it either. Got me.
Anyway, we'll keep working on it, ladies and gentlemen, but I just find that very strange and very interesting. And again, I'm not here to attack them. I'm just here to try to connect the dots and say, what can I do to help their cause? And the fact that I'm struggling to do so, to me, is very interesting. All right, Political Leadership School in Utah coming up July 31st, ladies and gentlemen. 9 to 5, lunches included. Incredible opportunity, lol.
It is, Sam. I host this school each year in the summer in the hopes that liberty-minded activists will attend, get educated, learn what the real politics is, and how to make your politicians do what they should be doing. So we need to keep this sacred flame of liberty burning here in grassroots America, and this is one way to do it, Sam.
Amen to that. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org continues in mere seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with me. Yeah, man, leadership training. Incredible school going on in Utah. Political Leadership School is what it's called. July 31st, all day Saturday, 9 to 5, lunch included. You want to learn how the political process works? You want to understand how you can make a difference? By the time it gets to the voting booth, folks, it's really quite a day late and a dollar short when it comes to politics. Why? Because they've already selected who you can even vote for. Think about that for a minute. You think voting is the quintessential answer or way to make a difference. To some degree, you're right, but to some degree, you've lost half the battle by then, because all the different people you could have voted for, you could have vetted, or you could have made a difference on, have already been vetted and already been, you know, whatever you want to call it. Now the names are there and you've only got a list of the, hey, out of, let's say Utah, out of 3 million Americans, you know, you might have two or three to vote for if it's a primary, or two to vote for if it's a runoff or a final, a general election or whatever you want to call it. So you got to get involved earlier is the point. And you got to learn how the ropes work. Okay, there are delegates, there are ways these things unfold, and you got to learn how to do it. The leadership school also helps you understand how to make friends and influence people. You know, just ripping everybody apart and saying they're all a bunch of communist thugs isn't very helpful. Now, on occasion, it's necessary to call people out that way, but it's not the day-to-day go-to. The day-to-day go-to is to make friends and influence people and let them know that you're human too, but that you have a different view. And here's the reason that you have your view. And pretty soon, if you make things human to people, people respond. They really do. Let me give you an example. There's a movie guy, I can't remember his name right now offhand, but he basically spent a bunch of time with Trump supporters to learn how he should play a movie role as a Trump supporter. And so he said, I want to spend time with Trump supporters so I know how they think and behave and I can get into my role better. Well, he was shocked about how religious they were, how kind and patient and down to earth and human they really were. And believe it or not, he was shocked because he identified with them a whole lot more than he thought he would. Ain't that an interesting tidbit? Lowell, this is how the political leadership school can help everyone to understand, hey, how do you become a delegate? How do you learn how the process works? How do you understand the human element so that you can make friends and influence people? All these are details that are covered in the political leadership school and more, sir.
Absolutely right, Sam. Human nature is something that doesn't change over the centuries, even though our technology changes. Maybe, you know, the Industrial Revolution comes along and then the Technological Revolution comes along, but human nature never changes because that's what makes us human. And so understanding human nature, like you said, is so very, very important to the success of any activist. And so I just remind people again, if you've ever thought about getting some training to become a more effective activist, I mean, you have precious little time and money, and so you want to use that the most effective way you can. Maybe you're working full-time. Maybe you're a full-time mom and dad with children to raise, and maybe you only have 2 hours a week or maybe even 1 hour a week to spend. How are you going to spend that time most effectively, you know, in the sacred cause of liberty? Well, we teach you how to do that in this school. We give you some ideas, ways that you can be most effective with the use of your time. And I just add, Sam, that this week is the last week you can take advantage of the early bird pricing, which is, it's only $40 for this class. That's the early bird price. After July 17, basically at the end of this week, the price goes up to $50. So now is the time. I mean, if you ever thought about this class, if you think you'd like to take it, then go register. I mean, you can always back out if you come up at the end of the month and can't attend. But that early bird price
or will better disappear. Or better yet, you can reassign your ticket to somebody else who can go in your place.
Yeah, absolutely right, Sam. So please register now. Go to the website there. I've mentioned this before. You can just Google for Political Leadership School in Sandy, Utah, and it'll pop up there, and you can register for that training. People normally pay hundreds of dollars for this training, Sam, but we are making it available at cost, and that includes your lunch. Hope that our good friends and patriots that are close by in Utah and surrounding states will take advantage of this opportunity to learn from the best how to exert political influence, Sam.
All right, before I move to the next topic, a listener emailed. I don't know if they want their name mentioned. I wrote them back and said, do you want your name mentioned? And I haven't heard back, so I don't dare mention their name, but I want to give them credit. They know who they are. They say, Sam, try getting a lawyer friend or an associate to contact the people you need. People tend to respond to lawyers. I agree that's true, and that's a good way to go about it. The problem is, you know, how do you get lawyer friends to do you favors? And if they don't put it on their lawyer letterhead, then you know, it's hard for them to know they're an attorney, but if you put them on the letterhead, how do you know you don't get billed? So you got to make sure you really got a friend in your attorney that will do you a favor, not cost you money. Because then I'll be begging the listeners to help me with some cash to pay the legal bill already before I even get started, right? I thought I was helping these folks with a class action lawsuit, not trying to spend money on attorneys. And that's my problem, and that's why I don't sue them already. Believe it or not, I contacted several attorneys, constitutional attorneys, and asked them if I should sue Twitter. And they said, you know, Sam, you're right on the point, but you probably won't win. Why? Because it's a long shot case, and it'll probably cost you a bunch of money. I mean, it could literally cost up to $1 million. Why? Because these other companies have big, deep pockets, and they'll just bury you in legalese. And if you're not careful, if you push it too far, you won't be able to stop the lawsuits because they'll start to file things against you, and then you'll be defending yourself, and there won't be a way to stop the money train. They'll just bury you. So, Sam, I'd be very careful. That's what constitutional attorneys have instructed me, and that's why I won't necessarily go and sue them myself, probably. Because I don't have the war chest. And that's why I'm so interested in some of these class action lawsuits and supporting what's already being done. Because if there's enough of us, then we can get the money together. And so I don't mind contacting the attorney to maybe get a hold of somebody for me. But you got to be really careful because the bills ratchet up fast. A buddy of mine just told me about a story the other day. He called a friend that was an attorney, talked about a couple of things, thought they were just chatting about things. Next thing you know, he got a big old bill. So you got to be really careful about that, but the advice is good. Sadly, people listen to attorneys these days, and maybe that is the only way that I can make progress. Anyway, great comment, great talk. Well, I sure appreciate it. Keep them coming. Lol?
Yeah, one other comment. I just Googled. Of course, I don't use Google anymore. I use DuckDuckGo, but I looked for, Trump taking on a big tech lawsuit, whatever. Hit a website that said you can visit takeonbigtech.com to join. And so I went there, takeonbigtech.com, and it has a link right away where you can put in your email address to get more information. But it's done by the America First Policy Institute, or AFPI for short. That's the America First Policy Institute. And it is talking about this suit that Donald J. Trump is, why he's suing his big tech.
Takeonamerica.com.
Press conference. Yeah, take a look at that, Sam. It might be what you're looking for, or it might be a
spell
pseudo
it.
Cause
I go there and say it's parked free by GoDaddy. Just TAKEO.
Take on big tech.com. Yeah, takeonbigtech.com. And
I can email them, and I appreciate that. I just don't know if you put something up for the masses in the public like that, how active they'll really take my, thing. But I'll give it a try.
And you don't know whether it's some scam artist just trying to take the money of people who are looking to donate to this effort of Trump's to sue big tech. So you have to be careful. But it's one site, it's a place to start.
Yeah, I don't know what constitutional litigation partnership is.
I don't know either.
Any sign up or share your story. And so I'm not against maybe doing this as a last resort, but I'm just saying you would think there'd be a way to get a hold of somebody better than this. I mean, how many people really have a real story that can join big tech, a lawsuit against big tech? Anyway.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Go ahead.
It might work out. Yeah, I mean, you can leave your email address,
we'll
your phone number and stuff. And yeah, good idea. We'll be interested to see, the rest of the story, how this turns out, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff going on, that's for sure, in the media. It's Saigon in Afghanistan, writes Ron Paul. And boy, howdy, is that an incredible comparison. Lol?
Well, if you're only 20 or 30 years old, you won't really understand the reference to Saigon. But Saigon, of course, is the capital of Vietnam, South Vietnam, right? And there was a time when in that war when we backed out of it. We finally left quagmire, Vietnam, it was called the Fall of Saigon, 1975. If you had footage of it, what you would see is the U.S. military helicopters were scrambling to evacuate personnel from the roof of the U.S. embassy there in Saigon.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Senators return to D.C. on Monday for their final 4 weeks of work before getting more time off. Some of the unfinished business, the infrastructure package. The bipartisan group that reached a framework with the White House before the 4th of July recess is still working on the bill. Of the 14 steps for a bill to become a law, the reconciliation bill hasn't even been drafted. Step 1. After delivering a scathing report on the current administration, President Trump at CPAC in Dallas, Texas over the weekend says the goal is to take back the White House.
We will take back the House. We will take back the Senate. And then, after witnessing all that has gone wrong in our country in such a short period of time, with our borders, with our economy, with crime, we will take back that glorious White House.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy forms and availability vary by state.
The Pope has made a triumphant return. Brad Bernards reports.
Buongiorno.
Pope Francis on Sunday made his first public appearance since major intestinal surgery last week, greeting well-wishers as he stood for 10 minutes on a hospital balcony, offering hearty thanks for the prayers for his recovery and calling health care for all a precious good.
As expected, gasoline prices continue to rise. John Clemens reports.
Gasoline analyst Trilby Lundberg tells us there's been an increase of a nickel a gallon for a national average of 3.21.
Most of this nickel comes from a recovery of gasoline margins by refiners and retailers. Oil prices had gone up last time, and we didn't get the brunt of that until now.
That national average of 3.21 is 97 cents higher from a year ago prices. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, doing a phenomenal job as always. So, you know what? They're saying, hey, modern day war is no different than yesteryear war. It's really the sad tale to tell. America has become a flat out war machine. It's Saigon in Afghanistan. Ron Paul. The point is, we go there, we spend a gazillion dollars, a ton of years, a lot of lives lost. Tragedy everywhere, and then what happens? We just bail, lol.
Yeah, we just take off. We leave, much like Saigon. We left the Bagram Air Base without even telling our Afghanistan so-called allies that we were leaving. Taliban has been swooping in and taking over parts of Afghanistan that we leave. And so U.S. foreign policy, in a nutshell, basically, is taking money from the middle-class Americans and transferring it to the elites of the U.S. military and foreign policy establishment. It's welfare for the rich. And that's really the essential truth of this whole article, Sam. I'll say it again. U.S. foreign policy, in a nutshell, is taking money from the middle-class Americans, transferring it to the elites of the U.S. military and foreign policy establishment. Welfare for the rich. Now, why does he say that? Because the cost of the war in Afghanistan was about $2 trillion. That's not billion, that's $2 trillion. That's money that's taken from the U.S. taxpayer, were poorer today because of it, and thousands of the politically connected contractors and companies that lurk around Washington, D.C., they are the ones who get richer. Meanwhile, the cost of war project out of Brown University estimates that the war in Afghanistan took more than 250,000 lives. Now, those weren't all military lives, but, you know, there were several thousand U.S. military. There's tens of thousands who got wounded. So I'm saying 2,000 or 3,000 killed, tens of thousands wounded. But then look at all the loss of civilian lives, our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan that lost their lives in this 20-year-long military action, police action, this nation-building exercise in Afghanistan. And so it's dollars wasted, and it's lives wasted, and at a huge cost, Sam. The lessons of Afghanistan are simple. We should simply bring the troops home. I mean, I think about what Ron Paul used to say. We just walked in. I'm sorry, he said, we just marched in. We can just march home. And so we need to bring the troops home, defend the states here as necessary, but leave the rest of the world to its own business.
So let's be very clear about what Ron Paul's saying. Let me just kind of make this very clear so people understand. It's Saigon in Afghanistan, Ron Paul. And so he's saying what we do is we spend a bunch of money and we cause all kinds of problems. We literally train armies and fund them for 20 years and then we just bail. And they're no better taking care of themselves when we leave than they were before we started, really. And so on one hand, you would say, well, Sam, shouldn't we come home? Yes, and he's not criticizing coming home. What he's really saying is that, you know what, to go in there and spend this kind of money, put lives on the line, train people who may eventually be our future enemies, and then come home, that's the problem. Why didn't we just stay home in the first place? So he's not criticizing coming home. What he's criticizing is all that we've done before we come home, almost creating a greater crisis, because much of the training and many of the arms and the funding has ended up in the wrong hands, only to come back to bite us in the derriere later, etc. So, for example, what good do we do in Saigon? That's, you know, what good do we do now in Afghanistan? History repeats itself, and we're, I don't know if we're making the same mistake over and over. It's a mistake for sure, but they seem to do it over and over with intention is really the point, Lowell.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, Jason Stapleton makes this point over and over, as did Ron Paul. He said, where goods cost borders, armies do not. And, you know, Ron Paul, during the presidential debates, would often cite Vietnam. Our trade with Vietnam is what has done the most to build good relations with Vietnam, because we trade with them. You know, once you establish commerce with country, it benefits both countries. And so that's really what we should be doing in other nation states around the world, is establishing commerce. Be friends with every country that's willing to trade. And like I say, where goods cross borders, armies do not. And that's, of course, the peaceful way to live with other nation states. Sam?
And Jacob Hornberger follows up with an incredible point to be made on the heels of this as well, sir.
He does. It turns out, I didn't know anything about this, Sam, but China loaned $1 billion to the country of Montenegro to fund the construction of a road from Montenegro to the Serbian capital of Belgrade. Now, this road is only partially built. It's about a 25-mile section that's only partially built. And it's being called the Road to Nowhere. But to really understand this story, we need to review our geography just a little bit, Sam. Almost everybody in the world knows where Italy is. But to the right or to the east of Italy is the Adriatic Sea. And then you've got the countries of Croatia, Bosnia, Montenegro, Albania, and Greece. Those are like the five countries coming down the right-hand side of the Adriatic Sea. Now, east of Montenegro is Serbia and Kosovo. And Belgrade is the capital of Serbia, and Serbia is a landlocked country. Belgrade is about 200 miles from the Adriatic Sea as the crow flies, and this port of Bar on the Montenegro coastline there of the Adriatic Sea. Now, this road, if they build a road from Belgrade to the Adriatic Sea, it would provide a direct route between Belgrade and the port of Bar on the Adriatic Sea for the importation and exportation of goods. And so, you know, I like the idea. It probably would bolster trade with Serbia, and it would benefit Montenegro because this road goes through Montenegro, and it's a very hilly, mountainous country. I saw pictures taken just a couple of months ago of this road's construction. It looks really nice. I mean, it's basically a freeway spanning canyons and tunneling through mountains. And I mean, it's really quite elaborate, but they've only got 25 miles of a 270 mile stretch of road completed. And it looks like their first payment on this $1 billion loan is due this month, but that Serbia can't. I'm sorry, that Montenegro can't pay that back because their debt has soared to more than double of its GDP. And so they may default on the loan. So you ask the question, why is this important to us? Well, if Montenegro defaults on the loan and for whatever reason refuses to permit China to seize its collateral, then China might well invade the country to enforce its loan agreement. See, this is what happens all the time, Sam. Whether it's U.S. loaning the money or the IMF loaning the money to these poor countries around the world, they do so on condition that the natural resources of the poor countries become the property of the bank or the IMF or the country that makes the loan, like China or the U.S. And so it's a way for the hegemonic nations of the planet to take more control over the poor countries of the world. It's what bullies do. So you got this situation now between China and Montenegro. Montenegro not able to make a loan payment this month, probably, and China wanting to take possession of some of Montenegro. Well, if Montenegro refuses and China goes in to seize the property, well, that involves us. How does that involve us? Well, because we're a member of NATO, and Montenegro became a member of NATO just 4 years ago. And under NATO's membership rules, NATO members, including the United States, they're bound to come to the defense of other NATO members in the event that a non-NATO nation attacks them. And China is not a member of NATO. So the question is, Sam, how many Americans realize that they just had their lives and fortunes pledged to the defense of Montenegro?
Yeah, and the real question matter, is Sam, the real question is by who also? In other words, we may not even know we've been pledged, but who did that?
Yeah, and it's the NATO bureaucrats, basically, that made that decision. The NATO bureaucrats approved Montenegro as a NATO member in 2017. In fact, just as recently as last year, in 2020, the NATO bureaucrats admitted the country of North Macedonia into NATO. So there's a real question, how many Americans...
Mm-hmm. On one hand, I blame the NATO bureaucrats. I get your point. On the other hand, though, I blame, hey, which administration has allowed this to happen on their watch? We're only obligated as the American people, not because of some global group, but because our own groups insert us into the mix for these things, right?
Right. Our membership in NATO is what obligates us to other NATO countries. So whoever got us into NATO and whoever is not getting us out of NATO, they're the ones to blame, Sam.
Yeah, did Donald or Obama or Biden or Bush or Clinton, let's just go back a bit, get us out of NATO? I think not. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, the danger that NATO poses to Americans, Jacob Hornberger with the incredible column. So anyway, any final thoughts on this, Lowell? I'm convinced that directly relates to, it's Saigon in Afghanistan, directly relates to this idea that we're in these unsolvable wars literally perpetually. It's fulfilling prophecy, but it's made us a warlike people. It's dangerous to a constitutional republic. It's dangerous to national security. And really, you know, I agree NATO's a problem, but it's our membership in NATO that's the real problem, and our leaders that are inserting us into this melee and fiasco known as NATO. I mean, the idea of these groups are supposedly for global peace, but it's done nothing but the opposite. When will we see it back out and have a humble, appropriate George Washington-esque slash Ron Paul-esque foreign policy? The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, sir.
That's right. Turns out that NATO, United States was a founding member of NATO. This is July of 1949, when President Truman occupied the White House. His Secretary Acheson, they signed this instrument of accession, meaning they agreed to join NATO and became a founding member. So, if you really want to pin the blame, we go back to 1949. Whoever was in Congress, in the Senate at that time, and allowed President Truman to form NATO and get into this, you know, make this these agreements. They're the ones to blame, and I guess every Congress since then that hasn't gotten us out of NATO, they deserve some of the blame, I guess, Sam.
And modern people today deserve some of the blame. We the people, for not demanding it, deserve a lot of the blame as well, because if we the people were in great enough numbers to demand change, we would get change. But without enough of us speaking out, standing up, making a difference, then you get what you get. Does your congressman and or senator at all levels, does your county commission, does your, anyway, every level of government know who you are and know your feelings on the matter? Well, that's our duty, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to be very careful not just to blame everybody else, but ourselves. Let's take personal responsibility and get after it. Thus, the political leadership school in Utah on July 31st. Get your tickets today. If you don't live in Utah, you can either fly in for it and or, better yet, you can go to campaignforliberty.org, get a hold of your local coordinator in your state and area, and ask them if they have that leadership training. If they do, great. If not, say, I'd like to help it happen. If they do, of course, just join up and be part of the solutions today. All right, the horrifying rise of mass media blackouts on inconvenient news stories. Caitlin Johnson hits the ball out of the park with that story and another that Lowell's got for us, folks. Lowell?
Last month, right, a major witness in the DOJ's case against Julian Assange admitted to fabricating key accusations in the indictment against the founder of WikiLeaks, the witness.
All right, let me just stop you there. Let me just stop you there, because this is so critical. After years and years, after all the abuse that Julian Assange has taken, after all the lies and the rhetoric from the mainstream press, even Donald Trump falling for a lot of those lies. Donald defended Julian when he was a candidate, then when he became president, he kind of sidestepped that, sad for truth. But nevertheless, I bring this up because we find out now that the guy that was prosecuting and had allegations against Julian flat out lied, worked for the government to set up Assange, and literally got caught doing it. Lol, this is huge.
It's a blockbuster, Sam. And the point of Caitlin Johnstone's column here is that none of the mainstream media talked about this at all. I mean, this barely came. He recanted this. Sigurdur Þórðarson, the witness against Julian Assange, he recanted just last month. But what do we hear from the lamestream media? Just crickets. I mean, they haven't even touched this. Johnstone did write that there were two different media watchdog outlets. One was Media Lens, and the other was Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Those two media watchdog outlets, they published articles about this blackout. But that's all we're getting, is lamestream media is not publicizing the fact that the key witness against Julian Assange was a liar and that he's recanted his accusations. But and so that's the key thing here, Sam, is that nobody's talking about it. It should be the biggest news of the month, in the month of June. The biggest news of last month was that Julian, that the key witness against Julian Assange recanted all, and took back all the lies that he told about Julian Assange. And yet, what do we hear, Sam? Just crickets. So what's really being communicated to whistleblowers and to journalists here, folks, is this. You know, don't bother. It won't make any difference because no one will ever see what you reveal. That's the message being sent to whistleblowers and journalists worldwide in this Julian Assange case. That's why they're prosecuting. That's why they're persecuting Assange. They don't have a case. They have no legal reason to hold him in Belmarsh prison. They have no, no principled reason to hold him, Sam. He should be free to go. And yet, by their doing so illegally, they're telling other journalists and whistleblowers, you better not tell on us, you better not reveal any dirt on us, or you will suffer the same fate as Julian Assange, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, serious business, because I've told you, and I've mentioned this over and over, almost every time you see something run off the rails, you find the government, FBI, CIA, some unconstitutional thugocracy agency is behind it. And now you have this Sigurdur Þórðarson, or whatever his name is, a major witness in the DOJ's case against Julian Assange, admitted to fabricating key accusations in the indictment against the WikiLeaks founder. All right, the Assange case is not about national security, it's about narrative control. Julian Assange once said, the overwhelming majority of information is classified to protect political security, not national security. The Pentagon admitted years ago that it could not find a single instance of lives being lost due to the publication to which Assange is currently being prosecuted. In other words, it's not and never has been about national security. It's about narrative control, folks. This is serious, serious business. Ron Paul often said truth is treason in an empire of lies. I don't know how they can do this. We find out, for example, that the January 6th had agent government provocateurs in it, too. We've named them. They've been documented in court documents. Now we find this for Julian Assange. Which example in history does not have false flag written all over it, Lowell? And I'm hard-pressed to even know.
Yeah, that's a good question. False flags, they've been around for centuries, and governments have used them over and over and over to accomplish their devious and sinister ends. False flag. That's what governments do, and that's one of the evils of an out of control government. So, you know, Assange isn't sitting in Belmarsh prison for doing something wrong, but for doing something right. That's why he's there. He was trying to give the public information that will help them and us, and that means us, form an accurate worldview, one that's based on fact and truth rather than one based on the lies spun by government entities. I think back to that helicopter, killing the Reuters reporter on the ground, and the leak of that video just blew the socks off of the politicians, because you know Assange disclosed, maybe that was a Bradley Manning disclosure. Anyway, that it's that type of disclosure that knocks the socks off of the politicians, and they hate that. They don't like to be embarrassed, and yet the expose of truth, which is what Julian Assange was doing, it just embarrasses the daylights out of them, and they don't like that. That's why they're making an example of Assange, and to dissuade other journalists from becoming truth tellers, from revealing what's really going on. They're trying to make journalists to be parrots, just speak what we want you to speak and nothing else. That's what they want journalists to be, and by and large, that's what journalists have become, unfortunately. And so this Assange case, it receives a lot of attention, not because of the interest in one man's fate, but because of the interest in everyone's fate, really. I mean, yes, I'm interested in Julian Assange's case, and I hope that he will be freed very soon, yesterday. But I'm also interested in his fate because that's every journalist's fate. That's your fate, Sam. What's going to happen to you for all of the truth that you tell on Liberty Roundtable? What's going to happen to me for bringing this type of truth to light on radio shows? And that's why we're so interested in the fate of one Julian Assange.
And there is only one answer. It depends on what the American people do. If they turn their backs and remain silent and continue to tune into the mainstream press, you and I are in serious trouble. Because they can pick us off, isolate us, demonize us, one person at a time. On the other hand, if we jettison the mainstream press, if Americans fund the new media taking center stage and turn to us by our greater numbers, shall we see success? So I'm convinced that the response of the American people, sadly, our fate is in their hands to a great degree, sir.
You're absolutely right, Sam. And in order for the American people to be on the side of truth, they need to turn to God. We don't have a prayer, Sam, unless the American people turn to God, seek His forgiveness, and hope that He will heal our land as He has promised to do. So that's
Paul,
my prayer. That's my hope.
Amen to that. I joined that prayer. Ron Paul pointed it out, though. You know what? Telling truth is treason in an empire of lies. You know what? They're literally saying we're terrorists and treasonous now because we stand with the real news. We stand with the facts. Look, Julian Assange was wrongfully prosecuted. We found a government provocateur by an unconstitutional agency in our midst, got caught telling lies. Same thing with Fauci and the COVID lies and scandal there, which we'll get into more next hour. There's truth telling on that to come forth. I mean, it goes on and on, from Oklahoma City bombing to 9/11 to World War II, to we can go on and on with the false flags that are happening. And the more we catch them with the false flags, the more they pull out all the stops and claim us to be enemies of the state. They lie. But if we get popular enough and have the people's support enough, they will be afraid of us. On the other hand, if they can isolate us and pick us off and the people don't care, they come for us at first. But ladies and gentlemen, later they come for you. Make no mistake about that. So don't you dare decide that it's not worth your stand-up, because you will lose the battle as well. And eventually it'll be your turn. That's not a threat. That's a reality check from history repeating itself. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed, brother.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with
right,
you.
Thank you. For Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.